17. You know, the Bible in Ephesians 6 talks about the devil and his organized system of fallen angels that are helping him and unclean spirits that survive the flood, the hybrids, and all of those that are joining together in the spiritual realm to oppose us and oppose the work of God. And the Bible speaks about an evil day and being able to stand in an evil day. And truly, we have had evil days when all of the working of Satan has come together and tried to literally knock our church totally out of here. And it's never been able to be done, thank God, because we've been able to stand in the evil day, and to stand even when you don't fully understand. That's important. Well, the Bible says there is an evil day coming, and it is coming just before the end, when Satan tries his last big hurrah to totally run the world and set up his false kingdom. You know, Satan has been in control of the world system since Adam gave up the kingship. When he sinned, he was the king of the world, and Satan's been in control. But Satan wants to set up his kingship. He wants to set up his reign over the earth, and he's an imitator. He tries to imitate God, and God has a plan to rule the world through a man, the last Adam, who's going to be a descendant of the nation of Israel, a descendant of the tribe of Judah, a descendant of the family of David. And we know just who that one is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's already come and fulfilled all of the prophecies in the Bible about his first coming. But not all of the prophecies are yet fulfilled about him, because he's coming again. And we're looking forward to that day. And Satan wants to stop it, and Satan wants to set up his kingdom. He does not want what you're praying for when you pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And the way he can stop it, he knows how he can stop it, if it can be stopped, and that is, he has to stop the nation of Israel, because God said before he sets up his reign over the earth and his man Jesus to reign over the earth from a place called Zion in Jerusalem, before he does that, the Jewish nation must be together as a nation. And not only must they be together as a nation, but they must be humbled to the point where they realize they've been wrong about Jesus, that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Lord, and he is the Savior. And they will need to accept him as a nation. And when that day comes, and the Bible says it will come, that then Jesus will be able to set up his rule over the earth. And so Satan's program is anti-Semitism. You can't understand hatred of Jews and the desire to get rid of Israel and to hate Israel unless you understand that God's program is to regather Israel back into their land, and then for them to accept their Messiah. And then when that happens, God's kingdom will come upon the earth. And you, if you're saved, will reign with him in glorified bodies for 1,000 years, first of all, over this redeemed earth that is coming. That is the theme of the Bible. A lot of people don't know this. The theme of the Bible is God establishing his kingdom on earth through his appointed king. And Satan, throughout the Bible, has been fighting that and trying to set up his kingdom, his world government. We talked about that this morning, and part of that is the city of Babylon. That's going to be the center of the one world, the center of the one world commercial ruling by all the money will be ruled there, and the one world religion, which will be to worship a man, not Jesus, but another man and his image, and that will be Satan's plan. And we talked about that this morning. But right now, the mystery of iniquity, we said, already is at work, and that is going on right now. So I'd like you to take your Bible and turn to Revelation 17 tonight. Not only is the future city of Babylon going to be brought back and come into play and then fall again in one day, and we know Satan's going to divide against himself, and he himself, through his future furor, is going to nuke and destroy the one world commercial center and all the bankers. He's going to destroy them so he can have power, and that's all going to come to naught. But not only focus on that, but focus your faith on the rise and fall of this future furor, and we've been talking about that. So let's go to Revelation. First of all, look at chapter 17 and verse 7, and I'm going to read that. It says there, "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns." And so this is the money system, and the beast and his government's going to work with this polluted, corrupt monetary system. And if you are a believer, you will not be able to participate in buying and selling. You know, it's very interesting. God often prospers believers, but when we get into the final time period called the Great Tribulation, when that happens, no believer will be able to participate in the financial banking system set up at Babylon. And therefore, believers will be poor. Believers will be poor. If they have any money, it will be on the black market. It will be not outwardly done. And they will be poor, generally speaking. And so, you know, we often say you can't leave this world with anything. You can't take a hearse and bring a U-Haul behind it, you know. But not only that, as we get closer to the end, we're not going to be able to participate in the wealth of this world. Did you know that? There's going to be a generation of people that are not going to be able to participate in the wealth of this world. And so we are taught not to set your heart upon riches. In other words, use what you have to gain what you cannot lose. And don't put your heart into this world, because it's all going to be something that you won't be able to participate in as we get to the end, just before the Lord comes back and judges this world. So we're looking at verse 7. It says, "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore dost thou marvel?" Speaking to John, "I will tell thee the mystery of the woman." And we've already talked about the woman, the city of Babylon, "and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns." And so there's going to be a beast that's coming. He's going to have 10 leaders rule under him and rule the world under him. It's going to be the revived Roman Empire that's coming back, but it's going to be in a worldwide form, and it's going to be very powerful. And we want to look at that tonight more in detail, this future furor that is the mystery not only of the city of Babylon, but of the beast, the future furor that carrieth her until he's sick of her, and then he destroys her at the very, very end. But the Bible says that this beast hath seven heads and then 10 horns. So in other words, there are seven beast empires which have been raised up by Satan to get rid of Israel and to get rid of the Jewish people, because Satan knows that God has chosen Israel to save the world, and he's chosen Israel to be the head of the nations in his coming kingdom, and they have to accept the Messiah before he can do that. Satan knows that, so he's been after Israel all through time. And the first incident was the nation of Egypt under Pharaoh. Remember, Pharaoh tried to kill the Jewish children and get rid of the boy children. And that was Satan's plan. But every time Satan tries to mess with God's people, by the way, what happens? God turns it around. And who was the man that God used to get Israel out of Egypt? And now we have this great celebration of the Passover. And what did that come out of? It came out of Satan's plan to destroy the Jewish male children and to make Israel slaves and to destroy them in Egypt. And the man that God raised up, you know who it was, Moses, and that was Egypt. And then we have another empire after that, the Assyrian Empire, when Israel became a nation. They were in the land. They were serving God. And this Assyrian king got the idea, I'm going to come and destroy Israel, and I'm going to take them captive. And he succeeded in AD 722. It was a very wicked, horrible empire, and he invaded under Sennacherib and took the Jews captive. And that was a great victory for Satan, he felt. And then he tried another empire to get rid of the two remaining tribes, the tribe of Judah and Benjamin, that were left in the city of Jerusalem. And in 586, the Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar came in and took the temple, took the gold, took the holy of holy items, and as much as he could get, and burned the temple to the ground, took the two tribes left from it, and Satan said, yeah, I got them. But he didn't have them, right? He didn't have them, no. And because God raised up Cyrus of the Medo-Persian Empire, and Cyrus had Jewish people, funded them to go back and rebuild the temple and rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And that was done under the great Medo-Persian Empire. But Satan then raised up a wicked man under that empire. His name was Haman. And he wanted to kill every last Jew. And so he got a whole funding of a holiday called Purim, where they would cast lots for a day when everybody could. It was like a holiday to kill Jews. It was like opening season and deer. You can just kill any Jew you want. If that isn't Satan, I don't know what is. And what happened? God raised up Mordecai and Esther. And Esther was married to the king. He didn't even know she was a Jew. And she begged for the life of her people. The king was so touched, he had Haman hung. And they cast lots for a day. They already had the day cast lots when you could kill Jews. They then made a law, he added, that the Jews could defend themselves and kill them back. And that became the holiday called Purim. You've heard of Purim. How many have heard of Purim? You know, and that is a Jewish holiday. So my point to you is, all through history, you can't understand anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism unless you understand it's from Satan fighting God because he doesn't want the kingdom of God established on the earth. And so that was the Egyptian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire under Haman, under his influence. And then came the Grecian Empire. Alexander the Great conquered from the west to the east, conquered the Persian Empire. Alexander the Great, 30 years of age, he conquered the world all the way from Europe to India. He ruled the world. And he was a friend to the Jews. Although he tried to get them to compromise, you know, with the Greek culture. But when he died, four generals took over. And one of those generals ruled over Syria. And then one of the descendants of the rulers of the Syrian Empire was a wicked man, big name, hard to remember, Antiochus Epiphanes. But what you need to know about this guy is he marched into the temple and he got the priest to offer a pig on the altar to defile God's temple under the law, and was an abomination. And then he set up a false god in the Holy of Holies, and that was used by Jesus to say that's a picture of what's going to happen at the end during the Great Tribulation. And there's going to be a rebuilt temple, and the beast is going to, and the Antichrist is going to defile that. And so that happened under the Grecian Empire. This was Satan, you see, fighting against Israel and trying to stop the kingdom of God. And what holiday came out of that? There was a miracle done, and God took care of the temple. What holiday came out of that? Antiochus Epiphanes debacle.
Hanukkah.
That's what Hanukkah came out of. When God provided for the oil in the temple to keep burning, He provided for that. So the celebration of Hanukkah comes out of that, and that is a biblical holiday, and it is important. And so after that, after the Grecian Empire and this abomination, then Satan wasn't finished. You know, the thing I get about Satan is he never gives up. He never stops fighting. He was just talking to me about somebody that I avoid this person like the plague. They're as evil can be. And I knew it. I smelled their evil. And now they're on the internet sharing evil. And I just totally avoid this person like Alexander the coppersmith. And, Satan never gives up. We should never give up. You say, why shouldn't we give up? Because you see this great fight through the centuries and the millennia, and who's going to win the fight? We'll talk about that tonight. Amen. You're on the winning team tonight. And that's why you don't need to hide your head in the sand. You don't need to invent some kind of false theology about the end time. You can face it and know you're going to win. God's going to help us. You say, well, how are we going to win? Are we going to fight the New World Order with arms? Are we going to flee and flee from it and run away and hide? The main thing is you need to remember is we're going to do it by faith. You need to focus your faith on the rise and fall of the city of Babylon. You need to focus your faith on the rise and fall of the future furor. And look at what happened. After that, the Grecian Empire, there was a sixth empire. You got Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and then Rome, the great Roman Empire, right? And that arose, and that was the empire that came to power in the day of John. And there was emperor worship. We mentioned that this morning. If you were a believer and you were in an area of Rome that was doing emperor worship, you could be a Christian. They say, you could be a Christian. All you have to do, though, is recognize Caesar is Lord, and you have to sprinkle on his statue a little incense where the fire is burning, and say, Kyrios Kaiser. Kyrios means Lord. Lord is Caesar. Caesar is Lord. And believers wouldn't do that. And they were martyred for it. And that happened in John's day. There's this emperor worship going on, and the emperor Domitian was emperor when he wrote this. And that is the sixth empire, empire that is a beast empire. Well, we know what happened to Rome. We know in A.D. 70 they came down under Titus and once again burned the temple to the ground, took the holy items out of the temple, destroyed Israel, chewed them up, and Israel no longer was a nation. And a lot of Christians thought, well, that's the end of Israel. The church has replaced Israel. Let me tell you, that's a lie out of hell. God can walk and chew bubble gum at the same time. He can deal with the church and he can deal with Israel at the same time. In fact, the super sign that we're living in the very last days before Christ comes back, even Jewish people that are not saved recognize this, that Israel is in Ezekiel 37 and many other scriptures, Jeremiah and so forth, it's prophesied that they would come back and become a nation again. So from AD 70, they were destroyed, till May 14, 1948, they became a nation. And during their diaspora, when they were scattered by the Romans to every nation of the world, Satan, somewhere between AD 70 and 1948, had a plan, listen to me, to destroy Israel. You say, well, why did he want to destroy Israel? Satan knows the Bible better than you do in many cases. He knows these prophecies that Israel would become a nation. And he knows when we're getting close. And what he said is, I'm going to raise up a man, and that man is going to kill the Jews so they can't come back and become a nation, because he knew the Jews were stirring, the bones were starting to shake, and they were planning to come back, and he didn't want it to happen. Who was that man that Satan raised up that his goal was called the final solution, where he would kill every last Jew? One of the men, tell me who that man was.
Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, Adolf Hitler. And he had the German Empire. And Adolf Hitler, a lot of people don't know this, he planned to have 1,000 years of ruling over the world called the Third Reich. That was Satan's millennial plan. And Hitler, when he fought in World War II, he was taking over the world, and then it was like it wasn't time, and the power was removed from him. He was not getting that same power. And finally, it got to the point where the Allies were defeating him, and he was in a bunker in Berlin, and I read about this in a book called The Twisted Cross by Joseph Carr, that his chauffeur came to him just before he was going to, with a military weapon, shoot himself in the head, which he did. He did that. And they said, Mein Führer! He said, Mein Führer, what shall we do now? The cause is lost. What should we do? And he looked with his eyes wide open and he said, look for the coming man. Look for the coming man. And now, bone fragments from his body were kept by the Russians when they took it. There's no Hitler running around, but they have bone fragments from his body. And that was the man, the future, I believe, the future Führer. So let's go to Revelation 17 now and look at verse number 8 as we look at the future Führer and focus on the rise and fall of him. And it says, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And it says, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains upon which the woman sitteth. I had a man ask me the other day. He said, you know, why is not this more clear than it is? Why is this not more clear than it is? And you know, for a long time, it wasn't clear to me. But it's very clear. And I've had people in this church, they're not brilliant people necessarily, but when they hear the teaching of this and they study it out for themselves, they understand what the revelation is saying. You know, there are people that say you can't understand the revelation. Well, the word mystery means a secret that God knows, but he reveals it. But the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And this man asked me, you know, why is it not clear? I said, because you have to study this. I said, the reason why it's clear to me is I've studied this for years, and not only studied it, but I've studied Bible teachers, men that God has gifted to teach, and I've compared that their teaching with Scripture, and it's a lot of work. And not only that, Proverbs chapter 2 talks about how you get wisdom. What's wisdom? The ability to use the revelation in the Bible to interpret what's going on in your life. And how do you get that wisdom? You have to dig for it like silver and gold. You have to pray for it. You have to search for it. And then it says in Proverbs 2, when you find it, man, hold on to it and use it. And you know what? The reason why I believe revelation has become much more clear to me is that reason. And that's exactly, look at verse 9 of Revelation 17. Notice what it says, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. Do you have wisdom? Do you understand these things? Well, you have to be around those that study and preach and teach so that you can understand. You have to listen, and then you can get it. And let's just look at this, because verse 9 says, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And I was talking to this guy and some other guys, and I said, now these seven mountains aren't what a lot of people say. What do a lot of people say these seven mountains are? And they try to misinterpret this whole scripture. What's a very popular teaching on the seven mountains?
Seven mountains of Rome.
Yeah, the seven mountains of Rome, which there are not seven mountains of Rome. They're seven hills, and they're not mountains. And they say, well, this is talking about the Roman Catholic Church, because the Roman Catholic Church is a whore. It's sold out to idolatry, you know, and is teaching false teaching. And that is true. The Roman Catholic Church is a whore, but it's not the whore. The city of Babylon is the whore. And false religion all came out of Babylon, pantheistic, evolutionary religions that come out of Babylon. And that is going to be the center of the one world religion. And it's not going to be what the Roman Catholic Church teaches right now. It's going to be the worship of this man, the beast that we're talking about. And I believe it's going to be evolution, that it's going to be secular humanism. This guy is more highly evolved than any other man, and therefore we should worship him because we can be like him. Isn't that what Satan said? You can be a god, and you can call the shots. And this guy is going to be an example of that. I can do it my way. I don't have to listen to God. I don't have to listen to the word of God. And he'll do it his way, and we can all do that. You know, like Frank Sinatra's song, I did it my way. No, you do it God's way. And that's the winning way. So here is the mind that hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains. What are these mountains? They're representative of kingdoms that will be beast empires that will come against Satan. And you have to understand what that is talking about by studying other scripture. And so it says look at verse 10, and there are seven kings, five are fallen. Now we mentioned in John's day the five that already fell, and that was the king of the Egyptian Empire, Pharaoh, the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, Nebuchadnezzar, the Medo-Persian Empire, Haman and his influence, and then on and on, the Grecian Empire. Empire and Antiochus Epiphanes, and five are fallen. That's five, and one is, that's the present Caesar that was in power in John's day. And then it says, and the other, verse 10, is yet to come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Now, it has to be somewhere between 70 AD, AD 70, And the end time, which we're not yet, the end time is the eighth beast empire. And the eighth beast empire is going to have a rule over the whole world under 10 heads and one man called the beast. So this has to be an empire between John's day and that day that's coming. And there's only one empire that persecuted the Jews, and we've already alluded to it, during that time period when the Jews were in diaspora, and that was Adolf Hitler. And it says in verse 11, "And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition." In other words, this beast is one of the previous seven. And then he dies. He is not. And when he dies and he is not, he's one of the seven. But then eventually he's going to go into perdition. He's going to be cast into the lake of fire. And that's talking about the end of the beast. When Christ confronts him, he will cast him into the lake of fire before the millennium winds down. He will cast him in at the beginning of the millennium and the false Christ with him. And so that's talking. And it's saying, listen to me, one of these previous seven rulers is going to be the future beast. And which one is it? Well, let's look at this for just a moment. It says in verse 9, you've got to have a mind of wisdom in order to understand who this person is, this beast. He's going to be one of the previous seven beast empire rulers that have persecuted Israel. And if you look at Revelation 13:11, and I'll quote the verse, it says, "And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." The beast that Revelation 17 is talking about is the first beast. But there's a second beast in Revelation 13 that is going to promote the worship of the first beast. And he is the second beast. And it says that he comes out of the earth. Now listen, the first beast comes out of the sea. And that's talking about the Sea of Nations around the Mediterranean basin. He is a Gentile. He is a world ruler. He's not a Jew. But the second beast is going to promote his worship. And he is going to be out of the earth, which refers to the land of Israel, and he has two horns like a lamb. Now, the lamb has two horns. One, he is over us spiritually, but when the lamb comes again, he's going to rule as king politically over the whole world, right? The Lord Jesus, the government's going to be on his shoulder. So the lamb is not only the one that saves us, he's the one that's going to rule us as king of kings. This man, this second beast that promotes the worship of this first beast that we've been talking about, the future Führer, he is going to be a Jew, and he is the Antichrist. There's only one time the word Antichrist is used, and it's in 1 John about somebody that leaves their original faith. And this man is going to leave his original faith as a Jew, and he is going to promote the worship of a Gentile ruler, and he's going to rule the whole world. This man in Revelation 13 is called the Antichrist. He's a Jew, and he is going to have the power over the world through money. And he will institute this religion, which will worship the first beast. And he'll say you need a mark in your hand or your forehead to get money out of the bank. And in order to get that mark, you have to say, "This man is God." And if you do that, you get the mark, and you'll have all the money you need for groceries, all the money you need for transportation, all the money you need for health care. But if you don't do that, it's going to be very difficult. there's going to be a generation of believers that'll face that. That's what the Bible says. And must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain supported by his word. You see, thank God right now we live in America. God has delayed the devil's timeline. I thank God for that. I pray for that. I want that. But I know I want Jesus to come back more. And I know that before Jesus comes back, just like you want a baby real bad, ladies, but do you want to go through labor? Do you want to go through what's called transition? where you hear push? That's not easy. That's not easy. But you have to go through that to have a baby. And Jesus compared the kingdom of God coming to earth with Jesus ruling over the earth as a lamb, yes, but he also is a king that will rule. And this false Christ, he is going to present himself like he's the lamb. He is the Messiah. He's innocent. He's good. And he's leading them in the true religion. And yet, he's also a king to rule over them and leading them astray. And that's what this is talking about. And you better be able to recognize this. And because the Bible says in verse 12, he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He's asking you to worship a man. And it said his deadly wound was healed. His deadly wound was healed. Wait a minute. If you look forward into verse 13, it says that they should make an image. That they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. You know, all of these rulers that I look at them, that I quoted to you, there's one that had a wound by a military weapon, which in that language would be a sword. And who is that man? Sarge?
Adolf Hitler.
Adolf Hitler. He was shot in the head. A wound to the head that killed him. And yet he comes back and lives again. And the Bible says in Revelation 17 that when this person comes back from the dead and is revealed to the world for who he is, the world will recognize him. They'll wonder after him. They'll say, who can make war with him? I mean, he's coming back from the dead. I mean, who can make war with this guy? I believe that's the first beast, and I believe it's very likely Adolf Hitler who is the one that's going to come back from the dead and rule over the world and over these 10 kings, and this Jewish false Antichrist will give out his mark. And if the Jew takes the mark, well, then Satan knows he has him. But many Jews will not take the mark. And believers, every true believer in the Jewish Messiah will not take the mark. You know, what really gets me is, and reminds me that we're in a war here, is that you've always had in America a predisposition to be helping Israel. America helped Israel to be a nation under Harry Truman. Donald Trump was born the same year Truman was doing that in the United Nations. And Donald Trump has been a friend to Israel. And generally speaking, the Republican Party has helped Israel. Pretty much the Democrat Party, except for John Fetterman, hates Israel. And that's why I call them the demon rat party. One of the reasons, because they're under the influence of the devil. I have a problem with people that when the dog barks, when the bee stings, when they're feeling sad, they blame Israel. Every time they open their mouth, they blame Israel. I turn Alex Jones on, he's blaming Israel. I turn him off. He's just blaming Israel all the time. Now, he says a lot of good things, but I just can't take that. Because I know it's satanic. Candace Owens hates Israel. At one time, she loved Israel. But she's going to turn against the nation of Israel. And Tucker Carlson, Fox News, he was paid $20 million a year. And then he lost his job. He was fired from Fox News. And I was for him. I was rooting for him. They fired him. So now he's going to get maybe $1 million a year. But how do you get back to that kind of pay and that kind of power? I'll tell you how you do it. Anti-Semitism is very popular. If not in America, worldwide. You see, the nations of the world are eventually all going to turn against Israel. That's Satan's plan. And so Tucker Carlson is playing up to that, and it makes him very popular. And very Nick Fuentes, the same thing. And very popular. Candace Owens makes so much money by doing that. She's not hired by a major news agency like Fox News. So that's how they make their money, on the internet, with all of these clicks that they get. And there's great power in that. Can I say something? There's much more important than being famous and popular and having a lot of money. And you know what it is? It's doing what God wants you to do. It's doing what God wants you to do. Some of you, you thank God you want to make it and be a famous fundamental preacher or something like that. That's not what God called you to do. He didn't call you to be a famous fundamental preacher. Maybe an infamous one. I don't know. He called you to stand for the truth and preach the truth and do what God said. If people like it, great. If they don't like it, great. God is great. And here is a mind that hath wisdom. And that's what that's talking about there in verse number 9. And so you have the rise of this individual that I believe, you say, well, how could Hitler come back from the dead? How many have ever heard of cloning? Yeah. There's a movie called The Brazil Boys made in the 80s. I've watched that with Gregory Peck. How many have seen that on television? That is about cloning Adolf Hitler and bringing him back. It's called The Brazil Boys with Gregory Peck. It's all about cloning. I believe that with the help of Satan, and I believe in the end times, these aliens and these UFOs, they're going to appear and say, we're highly evolved, we're from a different planet. They're going to be fallen angels, and they're going to be the survivors of the giants, you know. And they're going to deceive people to accept the beast as the one world ruler. And say, get behind this man. And this, right now, UFOs, it's all coming. You just got to be ready for this. And these UFOs are going to tell lies to people. They're going to claim to have science behind it. Don't fall for it. You stay with the 66 books of the Bible. Revelation's the last book. That's all you need for faith and practice. That's all you need to stand, is faith in the Word of God. And thank God we have an every word Bible, amen, that's been preserved by God. And so You say, Pastor, where'd you get all this stuff from? The Bible and men of God who taught me the Word of God, and I compared it with the Bible being my final authority, Brother Bob. Men can be used, but your final authority, amen, is the Word of God. So I'm talking about focus your faith on the rise and fall of the future city of Satan, Babylon. It's coming. Watch for it in the Middle East. I've been watching. You see, there are certain things that are going to lead up to Christ coming back. And we're watching for that. And focus on the rise of the future Führer. Now, you're not going to know who he is. Even when he signs a covenant with Israel, they're going to make peace with Hitler and not even know it's Hitler. Not until the middle of the 7 years, when he attacks through the Antichrist, when he attacks the armies that are bothering Israel, and he takes over the city of Jerusalem, that's when his image will be installed in the temple in Jerusalem. By the way, watch for the rebuilding of the Jewish temple. You say, is that going to happen? Yeah. Maybe this war with Iran, maybe another war, the Psalm 83 war, that Mosque of Omar is going to be blown up. Very likely. Because that temple is going to be rebuilt right up there on Mount Zion. And that's just a sign that we're getting closer to the end. Now the Jews are going to be all excited about that. And they're going to get into their Judaism. But we're not into that. We're into the millennial temple that Jesus is going to bring back and set up his kingdom with. That'll be on Mount Zion. That temple is going to be destroyed, that tribulation temple. But this is all part of what you're to be seeing and knowing and having wisdom. Do you have a mind that has wisdom? Or is your mind just filled with clickbait? Is your mind just filled with Instagram going down, down, down into all that junk, and you can't go down in that junk in Instagram and be right with God?
Right.
You know it. But yet, maybe you do it. A mind of wisdom. A mind of wisdom is early to bed, my friend, and early to rise. Makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Get the lights off. Get to sleep. And get up in the morning. Don't stay up all night like a stinking cat. The city of Babylon's going to be up all night. Like Las Vegas, they're up all night. I remember going through Las Vegas when I was in 10th grade, seeing the lights of the city. I was driving about 3 or 2 in the morning. It was all lit up all night. That's what whores do. We're the bride of Christ. Amen. And I'm just saying, that's what we're to be focused on. The rise and fall of the future Führer, the rise and fall of Satan's city, and it's going to fall, so don't get your eyes on it. And finally, by your focus on the future forest instead of the trees. Let me just end with this. John says in Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now here's John, and people say, oh, that must have been Sunday, the Lord's Day. He was in the Spirit on Sunday. No, nowhere in the Bible is Sunday called the Lord's Day. Now, the early church met on Sunday, but it's not talking about Sunday being the Lord's Day. It's talking about a period of time when there's going to be trumpets blown, when the bowls are going to be poured out, when God's judgment's going to come down on Babylon and come down upon this world and come down upon the beast and the Antichrist and destroy this world system that Satan has set up. That's called the day of the Lord. It's a short period of time to cut short the tribulation and then to prepare for the kingdom of God to reign over the earth. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And you get an overview of the whole revelation. The revelation is uncovering what's going to happen when Jesus comes back. And in Revelation 1 and verse 10, you get a picture of the whole book. And listen to this. He's writing from the standpoint of the Lord's day, the day of the Lord. But chapter 1 all the way through chapter 7 leads up to the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord doesn't start till Revelation 8, and it goes all the way till Revelation 19 when Jesus comes with the white horse. That's the day of the Lord. So he says And I'll read it to you, and I'll conclude with this. He says in Revelation 1:19, here's the forest. Write the things which thou hast seen, John, things which thou hast seen that lead up to the Lord's day. That's all the way from chapter 1 all the way up through chapter 7. Do you know chapter 7 is the rapture of the church? That's when the church is caught up. Read it. You'll see it there. That's just before the Lord's Day, the day of the Lord, in chapter 8 through chapter 19. Write the things which thou hast seen, all the things that are prophesied from John's day up till the rapture and the sealing of the tribes of Israel to protect them during the day of the Lord, because they don't believe in the Lord yet. All of that are things that John saw leading up to the Lord's day. And then write the things which are during the Lord's day, chapter 8 through 19. And then it says, and the things which shall be hereafter. What's hereafter? Chapter 20, chapter 21. Chapter 22, what's that? The thousand-year reign of Christ. The last dispensation before the eternal one and the eternal kingdom that's going to continue. That is what Revelation is all about. That's the forest. Get the big picture. Who is going to win? Jesus Christ. Is it going to look pretty bad? Is it going to look hopeless if you're looking under the sun? But if you have a mind of wisdom and you can see above the clouds, my friend, you'll be able to stand during that time. If you think you're supposed to be raptured out of here, maybe you'll have to come to Scranton Revival Baptist Church and say, what's going on? Because I'm talking about a mind that hath wisdom. You're going to need that as you go forward. And let me just say one more thing. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Are you saved tonight? Are you sure you're born again? Be sure that you have trusted Jesus Christ, because that's the only way going forward that you're going to be able to overcome Satan and what's coming upon this world. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about